Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Lord, for all you have done. Thank you for the cross, all it means. Thank you that you are altogether wonderful. Lord, we bless you and we praise you. Be with us in this last bit of the service. In your name, amen. Take your seats. I've got a little video clip for you this morning first before I speak, hopefully. You might guess from that title of my message this morning is success. What do we think success is? I asked the great and mighty Google what success was and got this: the accomplishment of an aim or purpose. Outcome, successfulness, favorable result. Successful outcome, positive result, victory, triumph. We are very encouraged by the success of this scheme. They were the things that came out. And as you look at Google, and if you Google success, there are many talks out there about how we can be successful, how we can achieve what we want to achieve. But I just want to, for a few minutes this morning, just ask the question, what is success? How do we measure success? What is the difference between success and failure? I was driving back from our Daniel Challenge graduation last night and listening to the radio, and one of the radio stations I listen to a lot, you'll be sad to know, is TalkSport Radio, and they seem to do nothing but argue. For those who listen to TalkSport Radio, you'll know. And the two presenters were arguing about what would be success for England this World Cup and what would be failure. And two very different views on what was success and what was failure, and very, very different reasons for having those views. As you, again, on the football scene, those who are interested in football, if you look at yesterday, there are some key footballers who might think, well, I've been very successful in my career, but who this morning will be on planes home thinking, well, was I successful? What is success and what is failure? Let me ask you some questions just to prompt some thinking here. If you want the best for your child, I'm sure as we've dedicated Eric this morning, Johnny and Becky will want the best for Eric. David and Pauline, as their grandparents, and Dave and Jan will want the best for Eric. But if we want the best for our child, and you have in mind what you think is success for them, and they don't achieve your target, have they failed? What happens if, in your eyes, they have failed? How do you feel? But more importantly, as they grow up, how do they feel? How we measure and how we place on people our expectations of success can have a dramatic effect. If you're at work and you win promotion, but in doing so, you've been so determined, you've made many enemies and lost lots of friends, have you been successful? Achieved great heights, but end up a very lonely life as people look at the way you achieved success. Here's an important one. If you're having an argument with your wife and you win, she finally concedes, but is so hurt and shamed and put down. Have you been successful? Won the argument. But have you really won? Hard questions, aren't they? See, the world often seeks success, but when it finds what it thinks is success, it's disappointed. How many times do we watch the news? I've got to be careful because I'm straying off my notes. How many times do we watch the news and see people who we look and think have been so successful in their field, and yet we hear they committed suicide because they couldn't cope with life? Is that really success? So I think as we consider success and we consider what is success, my question is, so how does God see success? That's a key question. Never mind how the world sees success, never mind even how we see success, how does God view success? And to find that, I ain't going to great old Google. I go to the Bible and ask, what does the Bible say about success? There's a story in the Bible, a parable that Jesus tells about people who he gave some money to and asked them to go and invest the money and do good with it. And when he comes back, he asks what they've done, and one's invested it and done really well with it and improved it. And another one comes and he's invested it and done well. Another one says, I was afraid that I would fail, so I buried it. But I've still got the one you gave me. I'll give you it back. Jesus says, the man looks at him and says, I could have put it in the bank and got something back. But as it is, you've done nothing with it. Who was successful? And actually it says that in the Bible, it says that when they are successful, God says, well done, good, faithful servant, enter into my kingdom. And that's the words that I want to hear one day when I meet Jesus. Well done, good, faithful servant. Enter in. You've been faithful. But it's important I know what God wants me to be faithful in. Because even in that, I can get it wrong. What makes the Father happy? And when I say the Father, I mean our Heavenly Father. Again, a scripture says this. Does the Lord delight in burnt offerings and sacrifices? In other words, does the Lord delight in what we do? Our things that we are good at and do? Does he love them? Yes. Is that what his main delight is? It says, to obey is better than sacrifice, and to heed is better than the fat of rams. In other words, it's saying God's more interested in our obedience to him and our listening to him than he is in anything that we can do for him. He wants us to obey him. So therefore, we need to know, well, what is God asking of us? Jeremiah 29:11. I know some of our folk, this is a very favorite verse for them. It says this, for I know the plans I have for you, says the Lord. They're plans for good and not for disaster, to give you a future and a hope. That's God's plan for each of us. But how do we get that? Do you know what God's plans are for you? Maybe not in the long term or in great detail. Maybe not going to Africa like Joe and Anna. But what are God's plans for you? I want to tell you this morning, if you don't know Jesus as your friend and Savior, that's his first plan for you. If you're here this morning and you say, don't understand any of this, not seen a church like this before, they're all mad, I'll tell you, you won't be the first to think it, and you won't be the last. But if you see something and you think, I don't know Jesus like this, I don't understand this, that's God's first plan for you, to know him. He wants to know you. He wants to have a relationship with you. And that's more important than any other plans. He wants you to love him. If you know Jesus, you've given your life to Jesus, you're a Christian, he wants you to continue loving him. That's his plan. We can get so caught up with the bigger plans, the bigger picture, and we miss, actually, God just wants you to love him. And as we've heard very clearly from Joe and Anna this morning, he wants you to tell others. Whatever that means, and wherever that means, to tell others that he loves them and he wants to have a relationship with them. He wants to be a very big part of your life and your decisions. As Eric grows up, I trust that he'll come to know Jesus in a way that every part of his life, he can say, God, what do you want in my life? Because that's the God I believe in. That's the God I love. That's the God I serve. A God who is interested in every detail of my life. So again, I ask the question, how successful are we at this time? How successful are you? Matthew 6, verse 33 says this, seek the kingdom of God above all else and live righteously, and he will give you everything you need. We don't need to worry about the other things. God promises, seek me, seek my ways. Let me worry about the rest. And I finish with a very strong verse in the Bible, but it's a verse that we should think about very clearly. Because the Bible says this, and it's often quoted actually at funerals. It says, for what shall it profit a man if he should gain the whole world and lose his own soul? What will it profit you? What are you grasping for this morning? I want to encourage you this morning. There's nothing better to grasp for than a relationship with Jesus. Are you willing to go all out to get that one thing above all else? So this morning, what is success for you? I want to say, without Jesus, there is no success. Because one day, we will be accountable. We won't be accountable for how well we did at work. We won't be accountable for whether we were a great footballer or whether we were a great anything. We'll be accountable for, did we do what Jesus said? What did he say? He said, repent. Be sorry for the things you've done wrong. Believe. Be baptized. Be part of my church. And go and tell others. Not a hard task, really, is it? But that's what he's after. I want to encourage you this morning. Seek Jesus. And as you seek him, he promises you'll find him. That's a good thing. It's not a hard seeking. It's not one of these where you look and look and look and think, where the heck is he? Jesus says, just seek me. And I promise you'll find me. Rachel has testified to that this morning. She found Jesus.